We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to the show, Bart. Thank you for joining me.
Sure, Paul. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I hope you're well, Bart. Thanks very much. I've been familiar with your work for some time, and I watched again the documentary, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. I've watched it a number of years ago, but I refreshed my memory today. So my first question is a very simple question, and I think I know the answer. Well, I'm certain I know the answer to this one, but without a shadow of a doubt, you do not believe that we have landed on the moon, that the Apollo 11 mission was a hoax.
Well, yeah, I know for a fact that it was a hoax. You can go to my website, Sabrell.com, S as in Sam, I, B as in boy, R-E-L, Sabrell.com, and you can see all the proof right there on the homepage, including the confession of the son of the man who was the chief of security at Cannon Air Force Base, who, as he was dying, said that he murdered a coworker. And when he was asked why he murdered this person, he said to cover up the moon landing fraud, which both of them eyewitnessed at Cannon Air Force Base in 1968. So we really have four times the proof necessary that the moon missions, unfortunately, were indeed falsified. The second proof is mainly today. We're talking about, with 50 years of better technology, the farthest that NASA can send an astronaut into space is only 1,000th the distance to the moon. So what they're really claiming is, in 1969, when all of NASA's computers combined had 1,000,000th the computing power of a cell phone, they sent astronauts on the first attempt ahead of schedule, 1,000 times farther than they can send them today with 50 years better rockets and computers. So what they're really saying is that for the first time in the history of the world, technology was better, 1,000 times better in the past than in the future. But that's a scientific and historic impossibility. So logically, you can't have 1,000 times better technology 50 years ago than you can today. That's impossible. So that proves it. Then we have shadows intersecting at 90 degrees, which are on the homepage of Sabrell.com, when sunlight is parallel. I mean, you can prove the moon missions are fake with one photograph of shadows intersecting at 90 degrees from objects 5 feet apart. Just go outside in sunlight and you'll see you and your friend or two trees or two telephone poles. The shadows never intersect. The only way they can is with electrical light, which means the pictures were taken on Earth. That proves it. And then we, of course, we have classified footage in our film, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, where we uncovered the crew of Apollo 11 faking being halfway to the moon with the 1 foot model of the Earth. So this is four times the proof necessary. And if it weren't for people's emotional attachment, like Santa Claus for adults, they would see the truth for what it is. And you were telling me before this began, I hope you don't mind me bringing it up, but your wife is reluctant to believe in, quote, conspiracy theories, but she does know that the moon missions were fake. And what came to mind listening to you tell that is, if you were to pick the poster child for conspiracy theories, it would be the faking of the moon landing. In fact, when Susan, what's her name, from YouTube, CEO, talked about censorship is a good thing and we want more censorship, she said the number one thing that proves that we need censorship is people saying the moon missions are fake. So they're censoring the truth. So what does that leave you except a bunch of lies that are up there? So if the poster child of conspiracy theories, the fake moon landing, is in fact falsified, then what does that tell you about the rest of them? In fact, I think, what was his name? Tucker Carlson said when he first heard that the NSA was spying on the private phone calls of the United States president, he said that was as absurd as the moon landings being fake. And that ended up being true. So what does that tell you about the moon landings? And I'm not a conspiracy theorist, believe it or not. When someone said chemtrails, I rolled my eyes and I'm like, oh, give me a break. That would be so obvious. And then I realized I haven't looked up at the sky in years. I went through a period of months where I woke up before sunrise. I don't live anywhere near the airport. I go outside and there's a grid in the sky 28 days out of 30 in a month that widens and widens and widens, widens into this carpet that covers the sky. And they were doing it under cover of night, finishing up their work at sunrise. And that ended up being true. And it's like, oh my gosh. And so the world is run by a bunch of liars. And you mentioned, you know, your belief in God. And I remember going to a church on a Wednesday night where it's a little more interactive. And the preacher's saying, who's Lord of the earth? And everyone's like, Jesus. And he's like, wrong. Read your Bible, Luke chapter 4. Lucifer took Jesus to a mountaintop and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said, if he bowed down and worshiped Lucifer, the father of lies, he would give him all the kingdoms of the world because they belong to Lucifer and Lucifer appoints their leaders. That's why our leaders are liars and murderers and thieves. And so how ironic that mankind's greatest accomplishment is a lie. And, you know, you didn't ask me, but I can't help but go into it. You know, when I was first asked as a filmmaker to make a movie about the fake moon landing, I turned it down. I said, it looks like it's possible they really did fake it. And I don't want to risk my life for what Nixon did. No, thank you. And then later when I started developing a conviction of right and wrong and, you know, a judgment for how you lived your life just kind of makes sense, doesn't it? That there's something on the other side. And then it dawned on me, Paul, if they faked the moon landing, that is so much more profound than if they had actually gone. Do you see that? Okay, they planted a flag on a rock, came back, didn't die. Wow, what a relief. Or they lied to the whole world. They put it on coins. They put it on stamps. They gave them ticker tape parades. They gave them medals of honor for being such good liars. From the country that is the most respected, powerful, and the one that almost every country wants to immigrate to, that's the country that pulled off the greatest lie. If that's true, which it is, that is so much more profound than if they really went to the moon. So what we have here, what it dawned on me when I found that footage of them faking being halfway to the moon, is they really did fake the moon landing. It's not a theory, it's a fact. And what does that tell you? It's just the depravity of mankind and the depravity of the country that claims to be the savior of the world is potentially the most wicked because they're the most powerful. Not that every nation or person isn't wicked. The Bible says that they are. We're all sinners. However, when you have wickedness with all this power and money, then the result of the wickedness is greater than any place else on earth. And when it dawns on, I just remember when I found that footage of them faking part of the moon mission right in front of my eyes, dated 2 days into the flight, there's Neil Armstrong, there's Buzz Aldrin, and there's the third track of audio from the CIA telling him how to fake it. I'm like, oh my gosh, they really did fake the moon landing. How sad is that? It's heartbreaking that this is the state of mankind. And unlike, you know, whoever killed JFK, he's still dead. Whoever did 9/11, they're still dead. This is different. This is a positive lie that people do not want to give up. In fact, Paul, I talk about this in my book, which you can get at Sabrell.com. It's audio. I read it myself, Kindle or print. I interviewed a college professor who teaches aerospace. I showed him all this proof that the moon missions were fake. He said, Bart, there's nothing you could say that would make me recant the glorious moon landings. And I said, well, what about this? What if you saw Buzz Aldrin on national TV tearfully confessing the moon missions were fake, they were filmed at Cannon Air Force Base, just like Bart said, and I'm so sorry. The college professor said he would still think he walked on the moon anyway. This is what we're up against. You see, why hasn't Joe Rogan, why hasn't Alex Jones had me on their show with an eyewitness testimony that is published in my book for the very first time? That seems odd to me. The number one thing that would bring down the deep state is the exposure of the moon landing fraud. And that's according to NBC News. I showed this tape to NBC News headquarters in New York City, who flew me to New York, put me up in the Waldorf Astoria Hotel, paid me thousands of dollars for the exclusive rights to broadcast this footage of Apollo 11 faking being halfway to the moon, which the NBC News director said proved beyond any doubt that they never left Earth orbit, meaning the moon missions were fake. And then they get a call from the federal government threatening them, and they back down and never broadcast it. And they want me to sign a non-disclosure agreement, you know, that I won't sue them or reveal that they cowardly changed their mind. You know, and this is what we're up against. It's amazing. And then another news director said he was going to broadcast it at a local station, and he said, I just can't do it. It'll cause a civil war. He said, I'm not going to go down in history as the man who caused the civil war. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. You're saying if we show the public how corrupt the federal government is, it'll bring an end to the corrupt federal government? And you're afraid of that? Isn't that what's supposed to happen? I just don't understand this. The media is not doing their job. There was an independent survey from a nonprofit organization that surveyed 1,500, quote, independent newspapers, TV stations, radio stations about the CIA's attempt to get Chavez out of, you know, South America. And all 1,500 separate news entities were 100% in support of the CIA kicking out a democratically elected political leader. Not one abstaining, not one against it. That's not possible unless it's completely controlled from the top down. So my book at Sabrell.com has 16 interactive video links, which you can see for free. I write a chapter, then I say go to link one, write a chapter, go to link two. One of the links is of somebody edited together all these news clips of the same story being read verbatim by ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox. It's being read word for word, exactly the same. There is no independent media. It's completely controlled. And when I bring the scoop of the century to NBC News, who agrees it proves that the moon missions are fake, they can't even broadcast it because of the federal government threatens them. This is the situation that we're stuck on. So back to you, Paul. That's my introduction.
No, you raised a great point. When you said, when you went to that meeting on the Wednesday night at the church and people were saying that the Lord's the Lord of the earth, but obviously our Lord even says of the devil that he is the prince of this world. And he said of him, obviously, that he's a liar and a murderer from the beginning and there's no truth in him. And like you said, so it's no surprise that the leaders of these nations are liars and murderers also. And I think that, I think it's so shocking that people just can't accept it. It's too big a lie for them to, like you said, you mentioned the college professor who's so entrenched in his position that even if Buzz Aldrin was to recant publicly, still wouldn't believe it. I mean, like you said, it's just completely irrational and illogical. But when it just sort of reversing a little bit, when did it actually begin for you, this journey? Because I know that I've listened to a few of your podcasts you've been interviewed on, and you was an actual fan, wasn't you? I mean, like Buzz Aldrin, Neil Armstrong, they were like heroes of yours, I believe. So when did it actually begin where you began to go, hang on, this isn't all what it seems?
Yeah, I mean, that should be a good testimony in and of itself, because I'm open-minded. I'm looking for the truth. I'm willing to be wrong. It so amazes me people don't want to be wrong. Being wrong is great because number one, you're not walking around in error. And number two, you're learning something new. I went from being the biggest moon landing fan probably in the country. My father worked for the United States Air Force, and mind you, the fake moon landing was filmed at a United States Air Force base because they supervised the faking of the moon landing. I was 4 years old at the time, asleep in bed. However, afterwards, my father, being a high-ranking officer, got a VIP package of 9x12 color prints of Apollo 11, gave them to me, it became my most valued possession. Of course, we moved every 2 years, but wherever I moved, there they were all together in a prominent spot on each bedroom wall from house to house as I moved. I looked at them every single day. So that's, you know, from the age of 4 to 14, what, 3,650 times, totally believing that they were real and mesmerized. How, you know, it's like, wow, it's Star Wars, Star Trek, and about just about as real. So then I'm 14, and I'm watching a TV show, and there's a guy on there who worked for NASA for 6 years with super high security clearance, said that he read a memo from Von Braun to the Pentagon telling them going to the moon is impossible, that if they try, there's only a 1 in 10,000 chance of succeeding on the first attempt. And he said they faked it, like having crappy cards in poker. They just bluffed. And I'm thinking, oh, that's interesting. Never thought of that. I wasn't like the college professor saying, how dare you say that? I'm an open-minded 14-year-old. So I go back, look at the pictures again, and it's amazing. I never noticed, and of course, they've color-corrected the pictures online, but the original prints, if you can get them, the soil of the moon is a caramel brown color and the backgrounds are grayish blue, kind of giving away when the fake backgrounds begin. Now they've color corrected it and the soil is grayish blue, but that's not actually the color of the moon. So I saw pretty distinctly all of a sudden when I looked at them critically, they were fake backdrops. And I'm like, huh, isn't that interesting? I never thought of that. Fast forward 10 years, by the age of 24, I'd become a filmmaker. Now, a filmmaker's job is to make fake scenes look real, right? And as the Lord would have it, I was editing one day for the guy who produced the show that I saw 10 years earlier as a 14-year-old. And I'm like, who was that guy on your show who said the moon missions were fake? He's like, I don't know. But call the San Francisco office. I did. They said they were days away from discarding 10-year-old inventory to make room for new projects. I found out who he was, contacted him, and he's the one who suggested that I make a movie about it. And I turned it down. I've said, this looks like it could have been faked, and I don't want to risk my life looking into this. However, once I started reading the Bible and studying the meaning of life, that I'm going to die anyway, and that if they faked it, that's more significant than if they'd actually gone, I realized this is an important truth for mankind to know. Days later, as serendipity would have it, I meet a person, multimillionaire, who builds rockets for NASA, who knows that it's fake, who gave me $1 million to produce my films, a funny thing happened on the way to the moon, and Astronauts Gone Wild, which you can see for free at Sibrel.com. And I'm producing the film under the theory it might be true that they faked it. And 3.5 years into the 7-year project, I pop in a tape. It says, don't show to the public on the screen. And it's an unedited reel of one special effect shot of a allegedly Earth floating in space that ends up being a 1-foot model. And I'm like, oh my gosh. They're faking being halfway to the moon. And I'm like, well, let me make sure I get this right. If they're faking being halfway to the moon, it means they can't go halfway. And if they can't go halfway to the moon, then they can't go to the moon, right? And that means they can't leave Earth orbit. There's some reason that limits them from leaving Earth orbit. There's multiple reasons. And we go into that in my book and in my movie. And then, of course, all the missions had identical equipment. So if your 1969 Volkswagen can't go 500 miles an hour, then none of them can. It means they all were fake. In fact, the infamous 90 degree shadow photograph is from the quote last mission to the moon. Once people accepted that they were on the moon, even though they weren't, it was actually easier to fake the later missions. So that's why mannequins or orbiting the moon today. I mean, think about it. They can play golf and drive cars on the moon in 1969, but today they can only send mannequins to orbit the moon. And one of the interactive clips at Sobral.com is NASA's own engineer in his late 20s saying that the radiation field that starts at 1,000 miles above the Earth, 30,000 miles thick, every space mission, Skylab, Space Shuttle, Gemini, Mercury is well below that, except going to the moon, you'd have to go through it. He says it's deadly radiation, and then he says the technology necessary for an astronaut to go through it to the moon and back and survive has yet to be invented. Oh, well, that's why there's mannequins orbiting the moon. You can't have 1,000 times better space traveling technology for astronauts in 1969 than you can today. NASA has never kept a schedule, not a single time in their entire history. In fact, just to put a telescope into Earth orbit with 20 years better technology than the Apollo spacecraft, they were 10 years behind schedule. The only time they kept a schedule was the most complicated mission of all time that had they had never done before. It just boggles the mind. People can't see the truth for what it is. It's like trying to take candy away from a child and give them a plate of manure instead, and they'll just fight you. They want that candy. So my film, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, it opens up, believe it or not, with the Tower of Babel, because until a couple hundred years ago, for thousands of years, the height of technology was simply the tallest building. It says in Genesis 6, the reason why they built it was to boast, was to show off, to beat their neighbor's tallest building. And it was never finished. And then we show the Titanic, the largest machine built by the human hand in 1912. And it said in a poster about the ship that it was the ship that God himself could not sink. Never finished either, never made one voyage. And then Tricky Dick Nixon, when he knew they were not on the moon, said putting a man on the moon is second in greatness to the creation of the universe. You see, there's a common thread here of mankind's greatest technological boast, boasting beyond what it can actually do. And you know, I hope the truth comes out, and maybe that's what it's destined to do. You know, I think sometimes, let's say there's a couple who got married, they're madly in love with one another, and 6 weeks into the marriage, one of them's at a convention, gets drunk, has a one-night stand. They could come home and immediately tell their spouse, look, I did this, I'm sorry, you can divorce me if you want. Or imagine the alternative, they tell them on their 50th anniversary. Which has greater impact? Maybe the 50th anniversary, after all those years of believing fidelity when it wasn't true. Maybe the revealing of the moon landing fraud is divinely inspired to be delayed so that the more people believe it, the greater the shock. Because it was a shock to me. When I saw them faking being halfway to the moon, I finally accepted, yes, they did fake it. And it's just heartbreaking, not for the U.S. so much as mankind in general. How sad. It was an unnecessary lie. We could have just told the truth. Why not say, look, we set a goal. It can't be done. We don't have the technology yet. What this means is that our leaders are juvenile, right? And then they're murderers. One of the chapters in my book at Sobral.com, Kindle, print, or audio, which I read myself, the second to the last chapter is called NASA's Greatest Fear. There's a lot of information in the book that's not in the movie. The book is new. The movie's 20 years old, including my interview with Apollo astronauts' relatives. The relatives of the man who was going to be the first man to walk on the moon, his widow told me that her husband was murdered by the CIA because he was a whistleblower. You see that? It'd be one thing if they faked the moon landing and didn't kill anybody. Then you might even appreciate their genius, like the people who tunnel from the dry cleaner into the bank vault, right? And get away with the gold. But not if they kill three guards who were newly married with, you know, young children. And so this is their problem, because as soon as the truth about the Apollo fraud comes out, the investigation into the deaths of these astronauts who were going to be, that's going to happen next. And our country was founded because King George was a threat, according to the Declaration of Independence. He was a threat to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, what's the first one? Life. We have the federal government murdering their own people to cover up their crimes. Not my opinion, the opinion of the dead man's, who is 100% convinced that her Apollo astronaut husband was murdered by the CIA for not cooperating with fraud. Okay. And then you have Bobby Kennedy Jr., who has more access to the JFK files than Oliver Stone. He says he's 100% convinced that his uncle, President Kennedy, was murdered by the CIA. How about that? And then we have Robert McNamara, Defense Secretary of the Vietnam War, saying on his deathbed that the whole reason the Vietnam War was started, the Pearl Harbor incident, known as the Gulf of Tonkin, never happened. They made that up. You realize Congress passed a law called the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution because the CIA manipulated them into passing legislation? That's highly illegal. That led to the death of 3 million people, including 58,220 of their own citizens. So I think if the federal government is willing to massacre 58,000 of their own soldiers, murder their own president, I think they're willing to fake an image of the moon on television, don't you? And you realize this is the state of our country and the world. It's pathetic. And the truth will make you free, right? We have to know that we have cancer. Otherwise, we're going to die from it. And it needs to hit the road soon, or these tyrants are just emboldened to keep doing more and more crimes against their own people.
It's one thing springs to mind when you were talking.
Yeah, I'm afraid I lost. Yeah, go ahead. Now I hear you.
Yeah, sorry. It says it's unstable. Yeah, one thing as you were talking then that come to mind was what's done in the darkness will be brought to the light. And that's definitely going to happen. And like you said, it's not a case that they've just faked it. People's been murdered. Like you was mentioning the widow, and I believe that's Gus Grissom's wife you're speaking of, the Apollo 1. And it's just shocking. Like you said, it's sad. It's heartbreaking, really. It's not just that the fact that they've faked this moon landing, people have died. But what?
Well, yeah. In fact, as I'm editing my book, I'm put in touch with the son of Cyrus Eugene Akers, whose father I witnessed the filming of Apollo 11 at his Air Force base in 1968. He stood beside President Johnson while they filmed Apollo 11 at Cannon Air Force Base, June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of 1968 at Clovis, New Mexico Air Force Base. And he confessed that he murdered a coworker to keep it a secret because his coworker thought it was morally wrong. He was going to tell a reporter, and he murdered him to cover it up. He also gave us a list of 15 people who were there as VIP guests of President Johnson. President Johnson gave him a list of 15 people who were allowed in the visitor's door to observe the fake moon landing filming. And some of these people are still alive, and I published that list in my book, two of whom have been verified to have been at Cannon Air Force Base. So there you go. And you would think this would be breaking news. I mean, there it made the news rounds that a guy who never personally saw aliens, never personally saw UFOs, but someone told them that they were real, he makes it to the news center. Yeah. So you would think, you know, a guy saying my father died and said he saw the filming of the moon landing at Cannon Air Force Base, here's the list of 15 people from President Johnson, and you can verify that at least two people were there at the time. You would think that would make the news, but I guess they want you to believe in aliens, which are probably fake, right? And they don't want you to know about the fake things that are true, you see?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just mind-boggling. Is there a single piece of evidence that convinced you, or was it like a combination of things that you looked at, pieces of evidence that convinced you, or was there something that just stood out where you went, yeah, that's it. That's the smoking gun for me.
Well, really, you could prove that the moon landings are fake in a court of law with the one picture. Go to Sibrel.com, click on the video. I think it says moon landing fraud in 3 minutes. You can't have shadows intersecting in sunlight at 90 degrees from object 5 feet apart. Go to a courtroom, take the jury outside on a, you know, sunny day with no clouds, and see if you can get two objects 5 feet apart to have their shadows intersect at 90 degrees. You can't. Okay. So you've just proven that this picture was taken with electrical lighting. Then you go into the courtroom, which generally don't have windows, turn off the lights, bring in a spotlight. And you'll see if one person is standing to the left of it, the shadow is in one direction. One person stands to the right of it, the shadow's in another direction. You just proved in a court of law that the picture they claim is on the moon in sunlight was taken with electrical light, which means it was taken on Earth, which means they didn't go to the moon. So you can legally prove it with one photograph from Apollo 17. Now, for me personally, it was that footage of them faking being halfway to the moon that is in the film, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, which is on the homepage of Sibrel.com. You can watch it for free. I found a classified tape of the crew of Apollo 11 using a 1 foot model of the Earth to pretend it's floating in space. It's dated 2 days into the flight. They're all identified on camera. And we have a third track of audio of the CIA telling them to fake a 4 second radio delay to make it appear that they're beyond Earth orbit when they stayed in Earth orbit the entire time. That's what convinced me. That was the epiphany for me. Some people say it's their expressions of the crew at their one press conference they gave after the event, where they look like they're at the funeral of their mother for an entire hour, rather than the victors in the winning locker room of the Super Bowl. You know, people say that, you know, you can tell on their faces they're lying and wish they weren't doing it. Other people, it's the radiation belt. I mean, we have a NASA employee saying the technology necessary for an astronaut to leave Earth orbit on a trip to the moon, that technology has yet to be invented. He says it out of his own mouth. And this is why there are mannequins orbiting the moon in the most recent moon mission, because a human can't do it and survive the radiation. This is NASA's own admission. It's one of the free clips at Sibrel.com. So there's so much proof that they didn't go. And of course, like I said before, we have an eyewitness who said he saw them filming Apollo 11 at his base, and then he even murdered somebody to cover it up. I don't think you'd make that stuff up as you were dying unless it was true. And then again, you can't travel 1,000 times farther into space with 1969 technology on the first attempt than you can 50 years later. You can't have greater technology in the past and in the future. I mean, when the atomic bomb was blown up in 1945, just 10 years later, atomic bombs were 1,000 times more powerful. So if you could go to the moon on the first attempt with 1 millionth the computing power of a cell phone, we would have been on Mars 10 years later. We'd be in another solar system by now, and there'd be bases all over the moon. There are bases at the South Pole, which, by the way, on Earth, took about 6 attempts to reach the South Pole, and that's here on Earth. It took 6 attempts, right? And it's 100 mile per hour winds, 100 degrees below zero, and there are bases there. because it's humanly possible. If it were humanly possible to go to the moon, there would be bases there. There aren't bases there because it can't be done, right? You can't have people playing golf and driving cars on the moon in 1969, and the best you can do today is have mannequins orbit and not people even land. I mean, come on, people, wake up. What more proof do you need?
Yeah. I was, like I said earlier, I was watching your documentary again, which I'd seen a number of years ago, and I was looking at the footage of them supposedly on the moon, and I'm just like, how can anyone even believe this now? In 2023, we'll look at these grainy images. How can anyone just look at it and think, yeah, yeah, they definitely went? But for me, I think there was a couple of reasons why I didn't believe it. There's a number of reasons now, but I think the one for me was the Van Allen belt, the radiation. I thought, well, it's going to kill them. They can't have gone. And the fact that the technology, they just didn't have the technology. It was just that simple. And like you mentioned about the astronauts, like they looked like in the press conference after, they looked like they were at a funeral. And I watched that again today and it was just like, these guys here definitely look like they're guilty of a massive lie. Like you can see it written all over them. But, and actually, it's actually my next question. You obviously had an encounter with Buzz Aldrin, which is quite a famous encounter where Buzz actually assaulted you, which when I saw that, I thought, why would he react like that if he's not lying? Could you talk us through that encounter that you had with Buzz?
Well, I had visited Japan a couple of times. They were more open-minded than Americans to the moon missions being falsified. They wrote a book about my beliefs. I think I sold the book rights to them. I was interviewed by a couple of TV stations there, and they had arranged an interview with a Japanese crew for Buzz Aldrin, and I was their surprise guest. And, you know, see what he would have to say. And like you said there, Paul, if I walked on the moon and someone thought it was all done in a TV studio, I would find that hysterically funny. I'm like, really? You think it was done in a TV studio? Are you okay? You want me to swear in a Bible? Sure. With two or three Bibles, you can stack them up. That'll make you, you know, believe it better. I'll be glad to do that. But the way he reacted was like, I went up to him in front of his wife and said, oh, your mistress, she says hello. You see, a sword with no point causes no injury. He got mad because it was true. I pointed out his criminality in front of his entourage, where he was being treated like a hero when he's a traitor. Now, I didn't wake up that morning planning on calling Buzz Aldrin a coward, a liar, and a thief. However, and of course, he didn't wake up that morning saying, I can't wait to punch Bart. But, you know, the heat got turned up and, you know, I've been a coward. I've been a liar. I've been a thief myself. We actually had an interview with him prior to that. Now, both of these encounters are in my follow-up film, Astronauts Gone Wild, which you can see for free at Sabrell.com. The first interview, I had two cameras set up, a TV monitor, and I showed him the footage we uncovered of him faking being halfway to the moon with the one-foot model. He was shocked. He said, where'd you get this footage? And I said, you know, serendipity. And then he said, oh, and this makes me a famous person for having discovered like this. What an ego I must have to want to, you know, make my name as a journalist. Well, how could I become famous if I'm wrong? So he's admitting that this does prove they did not go to the moon. So, and then he said, we were just passengers on a flight. Talk to the administrator of NASA. This was his defense of faking the moon landing. Well, a passenger doesn't land on the moon. They just orbit the Earth. So we have two admissions. One, him saying I was correct, right? I can't become famous if I'm incorrect. And secondly, he said he was a passenger, he and Neil Armstrong, and not pilots, meaning they just orbited the Earth under the control of NASA. And when he realized he made two admissions of his guilt, he threatened to sue me if I showed those admissions publicly, which, of course, we do anyway. So it was not the first time I had met Buzz, when I met him there in Beverly Hills. And so I think I was like a thorn in his side. He had spent most of his life without question. You know, it's just sad that the people we think are heroes are not only not heroes. It would be different if, like, you know, somebody allegedly rescued a baby from a burning building and he ended up not really doing it. But this is different. It's even beyond that. He's actually a traitor. He's using our tax dollars to deceive the public and to murder people. When Betty Grissom says that her husband, who was going to be the first man to walk on the moon, who wouldn't cooperate with the moon landing fraud, was murdered by the CIA, well, who paid the salaries of those CIA agents? Who paid for the hardware that they used to kill, you know, Virgil Grissom? The taxpayers did. So we're giving them, I think in today's dollars, it's gone up to $250 billion to not only deceive us about the moon landing, but to murder people. We're paying for our fellow countrymen to be murdered. We're paying the salaries of the people who are killing our neighbors. Does anyone think that's a little odd? When William Benny, who worked for the NSA for 30 years in upper management, goes on national TV a few years ago and says, oh, by the way, we spy on the private cell phone conversations of Supreme Court justices in order to get sexual and financial dirt on them so we can blackmail them to vote the way we tell them. No one contradicts this. Not a single government agency stepped forward and said that's not true. It's an established fact. And not a single investigation by the FBI, the Justice Department, or Congress into Supreme Court justices being blackmailed by the intelligence agencies, who Mr. Schumer says have 6 ways from Sunday to assassinate you, literally or reputationally, right? Everyone is so afraid of these people that they admit they're blackmailing Supreme Court justices, and not a single investigation. You don't find that odd that when it comes out that Bernie Sanders is repeatedly getting more votes than Hillary Clinton, but she's getting more delegates anyway, that the whole thing is a scam. The FBI doesn't go after vote rigging. They go after the person who leaked the vote rigging. No one finds that odd. I just don't understand this. What is going on? I guess if people are spending so much time watching television, more people spend time watching television than they do at work every week. Do you realize that? They spend more time watching television than they do at their own jobs. How is their time left over to, you know, go to the dry cleaner, fix your car, and spend a few minutes with your kids, and then left over to make the world a better place? They literally are hypnotizing people. People say the number one reason why the moon landings must be real is the government wouldn't lie about such an important thing. And then secondly, I know it's real because I saw it on television. I mean, wow, this is what we're up against. But the hope is that the truth will come out. I mean, imagine that, Paul. Right now, our phones are ringing. We're getting emails. You know, stop what you're doing. You gotta turn on CNN. We turn it on. It's one of the Apollo astronauts tearfully confessing the moon missions are fake. It's an established, known fact. What would that be like? It would be like a cold glass of water thrown into the face of the American public. They wake up. They realize they have been sleepwalking their entire life. And then they look down, and they're 1 foot away from a cliff. What would happen if the truth about the moon landing fraud came out? Maybe the stock market would crash. Maybe the dollar would crash. Well, what can you do? If the corrupt federal government comes down because the corrupt federal government's crimes are exposed, then I say that's what's supposed to happen. I mean, you don't have to fire a single shot to bring down the corrupt federal government. You just stop giving them your harvest. We're giving them 40% of our harvest. and they're using that harvest to deceive us and to murder us. Just stop giving them money. How a beast will die of starvation, right?
Definitely a beast, but definitely that's a good word to use about them. So we've been talking obviously about the CIA, and you've had some run-ins with the CIA. Could you tell us a little bit about them?
Yeah, I mean, this is another reason to get the book. I figured, you know, the book took like 15 years to write, 2 years just to edit. And I thought, you know, I'd really like to put this chapter behind me and move on to, God willing, my first feature film. But I thought, well, for the historical record, I'm going to tell some things I haven't said before, including, you know, my interview with the Apollo astronaut's widow, who said her Apollo astronaut husband was murdered by the CIA. She asked me not to put that in my film, to wait until after her death. So now it's in the book. I also, when I found the footage of them faking being halfway to the moon, that proved beyond a doubt to two NBC news directors and skeptical me that they really did fake the moon landing, I had major, major problems. I was followed from church that night. And in my frantic rush to CNN to get the tape to a reporter friend at CNN, I'm literally surrounded by government agents, you know, at the back door CNN, where I'm abducted, drugged with truth serum, and interrogated. Where's the original and where's this, that, and the other? I escaped their custody, made it my, you know, back to Nashville, and I peed in a cup. I said, I got them. I got truth serum in me. I'm going to prove, you know, clinically, scientifically, I was drugged by a drug that only, you know, government spooks would have. So I give it to a friend to put in a lab in his name, not mine. And a couple of days later, checking on the lab results, he says, well, there was a problem at the lab. And I'm, yeah, and what problem? He said, well, funny thing, they had a break-in over the weekend. And I'm like, yeah, so what? He said, well, funny thing, the only thing stolen was your urine sample. So these little X-Files adventures, I never went into publicly. I'm already asking people to believe something that's hard to believe, that the government really did fake the moon landing. So I never mentioned these little X-Files exploits of mine, including my car being tampered with, the brake fluid being drained, and the low brake fluid light being disconnected, so I wouldn't have a warning about it. That my cruise control was tampered with so that the accelerator pedal would get stuck in a residential area and lurch the car forward at 80 miles an hour. You know what I mean? Weird things like that. I never went into. I said one thing at a time. However, seeing how hopefully this will be my final official statement on the matter, I thought I would disclose everything. And lo and behold, as I'm editing the book, I'm put in touch with the chief of security at Cannon Air Force Base, who on his deathbed said he eyewitnessed them film Apollo 11 at Cannon Air Force Base in Clovis, New Mexico, June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of 1968. And when I did investigation into this, you know, all branches of the military, Marines, you know, Air Force, Army, they all have their intelligence headquarters. Well, the intelligence headquarters of the United States Air Force is at Cannon Air Force Base in Clovis, New Mexico. What a coincidence. Mm-hmm. Then I pulled out an old recording I made with that guy who, you know, worked for NASA, who said it was fake. And I'm like, didn't he bring up the Air Force? And I'm going through my own archives. And he says the whole thing, the faking of the moon landing, was supervised by the United States Air Force. And there it was at an Air Force base, the headquarters for the intelligence division. And there you go. So we have four times the proof. You can't have greater technology in the past and in the future. We have an eyewitness who says he was there when they filmed it. We have shadows intersecting at 90 degrees, which can only be duplicated with electrical lighting, which means they took them on Earth. And we uncovered classified footage dated 2 days into the flight with the third track of audio of the CIA of them using a 1-foot model of the Earth to pretend they're halfway to the moon, which proves, according to two NBC news directors, proof that they absolutely faked the moon landing. So 4 times the proof necessary. If you have an open mind, if you're willing to be wrong, if you're willing to admit your country or the world is more corrupt than you dare imagine, this is the way that it is. This is important. Mankind cannot go forward. We can't have a great awakening unless the truth about the moon landing fraud comes out. This is why Orwell said, whoever controls the past controls the future. So as long as the corrupt government leaders are saying about the past that the moon missions were real, when they certainly were not, then those same criminals will be controlling our future. And that's very dangerous because they kill their own people. And we finance it. You see, shouldn't that come to an end? And the exposure of the moon landing fraud, I believe, NBC News believes, that would be the finger out of the dike. So I appeal to Joe Rogan, Alex Jones, to reveal an eyewitness testimony that Apollo 11 was filmed at Cannon Air Force Base, according to the security chief, who on his deathbed not only confessed to that, but to murdering a coworker to cover it up, which would never be confessed unless it were true.
Yeah. Final question for you then, Bart. Why do you think they faked it?
Well, there's a number of reasons. I mean, the first one was pride. They said they could do something and they can't do it. You know, it's eating humble pie. They were prideful. They didn't want to admit that they made a boast they couldn't do. Then there's a lot of money, right? I think it's gone up to about $250 billion in today's money. If they're only orbiting the Earth, which they had already done numerous times, then they got about 75% of that money left over while the Vietnam War is going on to go into Cambodia, Laos, and do whatever else they want to do. Then it was a distraction. Nixon said that the number one threat to America at the time wasn't Russia, wasn't China, was Americans protesting the Vietnam War. And so you give them a pep rally that is guaranteed to win. In fact, President Johnson came up with the code name for the faking of the moon landing. He called it Project Slam Dunk, because if you fake the moon mission, you can have a 100% guarantee the mission will be successful. He called it an easy slam dunk. So during the protests of the Vietnam War, you give Americans something to cheer about. And I don't know if they knew this at the time, but I'm sure they figured it out now, that Americans are defending the lie out of pride. How dare you say that our team who won the Super Bowl cheated? How dare you say that? Well, they did cheat. Wouldn't you want to know? And then people are like, well, my uncle sold popcorn, you know, at the Super Bowl and assures me it wasn't rigged. And that's proof. Really? I mean, Eugene Krantz, the flight director, who, by the way, is on the eyewitness list at Cannon Air Force Base. And I talked to him about his name on that list not too long ago. He said in the command center at Houston Control during Apollo 11 that one of those computer operators could tell no difference whatsoever between a simulation and an actual flight. So this idea that hundreds of thousands of people involved in the space program prove it was real, that just doesn't fly. That's like saying what a bank teller at Wells Fargo and the CEO of Wells Fargo know about corruption in the bank are identical. They're completely different. There's only 3 eyewitnesses, right, once they're up. And if a guy in the command center says he can't tell the difference between a real flight and a fake one, how can you tell the difference, right? I don't care if it involved hundreds of thousands of people. So did the atomic bomb, and only 8 knew what they were making. I mean, do you really think the CIA is so stupid to tell the person making the door handle or the glove or the boot or the spacesuit, hey, we're really not going to the moon. Don't tell anybody. I mean, once the rocket goes up, how do you know where it is? There's only three people who know where it is, and the flight director and Von Braun, and that's it. If the guys in command center can't tell the difference between a real flight and a fake flight, then I say they can fool hundreds of thousands of people. They did it during the atomic bomb. They did it during Apollo. That argument doesn't fly. And neither does, you know, the simplest explanation is the true one. People invert that. Well, the film The Martian, 2015 film, I don't think it was filmed on location on Mars. You know why? Because it was simpler to film it on Earth. It's simpler to fake the moon landing than to go. Otherwise, there'd be bases there right now. You see, so that argument didn't fly either. And then the idea that the Soviets would have blown the whistle on it, that's not true either. Imagine if I had a picture of a world leader with a prostitute, I could release it, upload it to the internet and take them down. Or I could blackmail them year after year after year. You see, I know someone who works in the command center of the Chinese Space Agency. He says everybody there knows the moon missions are fake, that they are blackmailing NASA to not expose it in exchange for space technology. Well, that's a violation of the Espionage Act, isn't it? So our own government is giving technology to China that they shouldn't give in order to not have the moon landing fraud exposed. You see that? Another good reason to admit it. So that China and Russia can't blackmail us anymore, because that's what they would do. They're experienced chess and Go players, aren't they? They're going to use that information and hold on to it and use it against us rather than blurt it out and make the information valueless, right? That's what they would really do. So that argument doesn't fly either, does it?
No, that it's fascinating by the amount of hours that you've put in. And I always like to have guests on, and I always tell my audience, you know, these guests who I get on have done their own research, and you've done your own research. You've spent years doing it. But what I always say as well, guys, is do your own research as well. Don't just take what I say or what Boyd says. Listen to what we say, but also go back, get on the internet yourself, get some books, watch some documentaries, and get into it yourselves. I mean, I've believed the moon landings were fake probably since being 17 years old, and Bart's believed that as well for a lot of years. Thanks for your time, Bart. Could you just remind people regarding your book and where they can get it and everything?
Yeah, the book that contains all of this new information is at Sibrel, S as in Sam, I, B as in boy, R-E-L, Sibrel.com. The book is in audio, which I read myself, Kindle or print, and it's interactive. There are 16 video clips that actually you can go to Sibrel.com and watch now. You want to do free research? Just go to Sibrel.com. You can watch 16 video clips, which would probably convince you without reading the book. The book is good because it goes into my espionage adventures, you know, out running literally people trying to kill me. One of which is, you know, when I was being abducted, in the back of CNN, a lawyer popped out from his alleyway, you know, doorway. Had he not come out and me hiring him that instant and taking out a notepad, I probably would have ended up dead on some railroad track. All that, you know, backstory, all the proof, all the video clips that you could possibly need are at Sibrel.com.
Definitely encourage people to get the book. I've started reading it, Bart. I've got it on my Kindle there. So thanks again, Bart, for joining me. Thank you for all my regular listeners who keep coming back week after week. And if you haven't subscribed, could you subscribe to my channel and also leave me a 5-star rating? I'll be back next week, guys, with a new guest. So thank you, Bart. And I hope you're back again next week, guys, to listen to me again, Paul, on Beyond the Paradigm.
Am I crazy? We don't use that word in here.